Hogan. In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry, hop-infused hard seltzers.
Pelican Brewing Company is on the scoreboard with today's Daily Ticker, and in your hand with summertime refreshment, reach for your favorite Pelican Brew at a store near you. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Our guest today for the Daily Ticker,
the beach man himself.
The beach man himself, born at the beach himself.
Although I think I beach more than him.
Ooh, are you more of a beach guy than the original born at the beach, Bill Oram?
Well, he was born at the beach, but I actually think in life and general life right now,
you're a bigger beach guy.
I beach more than him.
I'm looking at his Twitter profile right now, and his background picture is a picture of the beach.
Yeah, he took a photo near the rock. Like, cool. That doesn't mean he beaches more than me.
He also is the big newsbreaker of our market now, baby. Yeah. At Bill Oram on Twitter. Go give him a follow.
Sauces.
Columnist at the Oregonian. How does it feel to shake the ground with something? We call it an Oram bomb. What do we want? What phrase do we want to use here? Nope.
That was
There we go. Sorry, we didn't get the start of your answer there, Bill. Our thing wasn't working. So go ahead, start over. Our apologies. We're off to a great start.
When in the course of human events... No. I said, I'll leave nicknames up to you guys. Okay. Thank you for having me. Mm. Weird day yesterday. Weird turn of events. But it was fun to be out front of it a little bit and bring that news to the... to the good folks of Portland, obviously something that a lot of people are extremely excited about.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to, I'm not going to include a lot of our off-air conversation. But what I'd say is it didn't need to be a weird day. It was a great day for you. You out-shamsed Sham. Like, do you know how big that is, Oram, that you came out here with an Oram bomb before the Shams bomb? Like, yesterday was a great day. I don't know about weird. You allowed it to be a little weird, but it was a great day for Bill Oram.
I appreciate that very much. Shams was a colleague at the Athletic. He and I co-wrote some stories. We co-bylined some stories. So a lot of admiration for the way that he's able to absolutely own information in the NBA. And so for me to every now and again dip my toe back into that is fun. But I would like to leave that world to him because it's extremely stressful. And I will tell you, as soon as I hit send on that, I like collapsed on my living room floor yesterday because it was like the most intense sprint to the finish line of news. I mean, in my career, like, I don't know what's a bigger piece of news that I've been, you know, on top of or in front of than that. And I don't even know what's a bigger piece of news really that's hit Portland, you know, in a really long time. I mean, the idea, I don't even know if we've said his name yet. Like the idea of Damian Lillard returning to Portland, given where things were 2 years ago and the actual turn of events that it took to create this is so, would have been so impossible to anticipate, is so unlikely. But for Blazer fans, you know, for Dame, like, it's just really, really cool. I will say, like, you know, I think we'll get into this. Like, I have some qualms about this whole thing, maybe unsurprisingly, but, you know, if we just take a moment to appreciate a really cool sports thing that is happening and a really wonderful feel good storybook moment. This is one of a kind.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bill Oram is our guest, columnist of the Oregonian, at Bill Oram on Twitter, broke the news yesterday of Lillard's return to Portland. I hope you texted Shams like a Talladega Nights, if you're not first, you're last, Jif, because that would be great. let's get to both sides of this, though, Bill, because I think you're spot on. Like, and we've been talking about it all morning, where there's unquestionably the tugging at the heartstrings. Like, this guy has meant more to this community than anybody who has ever donned that uniform. And that will mean something, no matter what your thoughts are on the win now move or what does the roster look like, that's going to be an impactful thing that happens to the city and this organization. And then there's the other side of it of, like, what is the vision? How does a guy at 35 coming off an Achilles fit in? Like, as you've now had some time to let this breathe, you break the news, where do you reside on those two sides of the coin in reacting to the news of Lillard's return?
Yeah, I think you're kind of all over it right there. I mean, I would love to be inside Joe Cronin's mind right now. Like, are you re-signing Damian Lillard because you think that he is, you know, going to be the star of this team, the leader of this team a year from now when he's back on the court? Or is this a case where Damian Lillard can be a Portland Trailblazer whenever he wants to be a Portland Trailblazer? Like, you know, there is a place for, there is a home for him here no matter what, and we will figure that out. You know, I think that there's a question, like, of which one that is. Maybe it's a little bit of both. You know, the Blazers, I think it has been like kind of a, I think disentangling from Dame has been really hard for the fan base, for the franchise. You know, for those 11 years that he was here, he was the entire center of gravity. Everything revolved around him. Everything was about him. The team was designed around him, obviously. And, you know, to kind of sort of, you know, I don't mean that as it's a bad thing, but right. To kind of come out of that haze is really, really difficult. And I think the Blazers had just reached a point where people were going to be able to get excited about a Blazers team that didn't have Damian Lillard on it. You had, you know, you built some real momentum with this Denny Avdija, Tumani Kamara, you know, Shaedon Sharpe maybe is on upswing. You get rid of DeAndre Ayton, who was a weight. He was
bad vibes.
You move on from Anfernee Simons, who didn't fit with the backcourt. It just was really all starting to make sense, and it felt like there was a new Blazers momentum. And then you bring Dame back, and it's like, okay, well, so what now is really my question, because, you know, this has been Dame's team. Is it Dame's team still? I think the answer inevitably has to be yes, but he, you know, won't play this year, as we know. And then when he comes back, we have no idea what kind of player he's going to be. And I would also just highlight from a basketball standpoint, you know, Dame is a ball dominant, you know, a very ball dominant guard. And the Blazers have built this like defensive run and gun movement, the motion offensive team, you know, with, you know, a 6'9" power forward, maybe like a small forward, you know, initiating the offense at a lot of times. You know, what happens when you put Damian Lillard in the middle of that? You know, I don't think if you were designing the perfect player to put with the roster that Joe Cronin has built, you would have been looking for a player like Damian Lillard, frankly, just given the kind of personnel they have.
Right.
And so I just am really going to be interested to see what this ends up looking like, because, you know, the best case scenario here is that Dame comes back at 100%. You know, and he has 2 or 3 years, you know, plays well into his late 30s. I mean, even to 37, 38, right? Give him, if he has a couple of years still playing at a, you know, all-star level, averaging 20 plus points, and everybody else kind of raises the bar, and he actually gets a chance to, you know, really carry this team deep into the playoffs. Like, that's the best case scenario. I mean, the worst case scenario is, you know, that he isn't that player, but that, you know, Portland still treats him like that player and the fan base still views him as that figure. And you end up in a, you know, I mean, guys, like I was there for Kobe Bryant's last year in LA, and you had this really sort of encouraging young group of, you know, of players that they drafted, lottery picks they drafted, who kind of had to take a back seat to this 37-year-old, you know, gunner who every stop was, you know, and it wouldn't be the same, but just to be clear with Dame, Dame's a different personality and a different, you know, and also just a, like, Dame's an icon here. Kobe was an icon everywhere. So Kobe had a farewell tour in a way that I don't think Dame would, but it really detracted from the Lakers' ability to, you know, go out and like try to build their team. And the Blazers will be 2 years down the road from where they are right now. So I'm really interested to see how it's all going to work, but I also get why Blazer fans are so happy. And I do think that sometimes you do need to put the, like, you know, you can get swallowed up by the world of the NBA and, you know, salary caps and second aprons and all that. And like, sometimes it's good just to sit back and say, this is really cool. So I'm trying to do that, but I have the voice in my head saying, is this a good idea or is it not?
Well, we're paid to evaluate and give opinions on the team. And so, like, when we also have human sides where it's like, hey, this is great. The city's happy. The fans are ecstatic, obviously. But we've been saying it all morning. Like, there's two sides to the coin. There's the feel-good moment of him back. And then there's the other side of, like, Is this roster make a lot of sense? So, like, what if you were a Scoot Henderson? You're going into a pretty pivotal year three. The team has traded for a point guard from a title team, and then they just signed the point guard you were drafted to seemingly replace, who's going to be coming back off an Achilles. I understand the leadership, the mentor stuff. He's lockers right next to Dame's. What are you thinking of your Scoot Henderson as a player with what the team has done now with these two moves?
It's weird, undeniably. But if I'm Scoot, like, I just take the I just go in with a mentality that I'm going to take any uncertainty out of the equation. You know, I would go in with the mentality that, that it's going to be uncomfortable because I will be the established, clear leader, starting point guard of this team when Dame comes back, and Dame has to figure it out, not me. Dame's the one coming onto my team.
Right.
I was saying this yesterday, like if a year from now, Scoot Henderson can't clearly and undeniably beat out a 36-year-old Damian Lillard coming off of an Achilles tendon rupture, then the question has sort of answered itself. You know, like, that is...
Is that kind of the point of the signing, then, in a way? Like, you obviously want to make the fans happy, but is that kind of the point of the signing? Is to
now
say,
or never see
figure
what you
it
got?
Out, or you're done?
I mean, I think that's the case for Scoot anyway. I think that was kind of the point of Jrue Holiday. Like, like you said, it's a pivotal year for him. You know, if he has another year where he's kind of just out there, you know, and he had great moments last year. I mean, year two Scoot Henderson versus year one Scoot Henderson was dramatically better. So if year three Scoot Henderson is dramatically better than from year two Scoot Henderson, then I think he's in pretty good shape. But it's clearly a year where he needs to start figuring some things out and start taking control. I just wonder. And I wrote this in a piece a couple weeks ago, and I'm getting some crap for it, and I get it. Like, I said Blazers shouldn't sign Damian Lillard. I don't think they will sign Damian Lillard, all that. But, you know, I think one of the hardest things here is this was going to be – it finally felt like the young guys were in charge. This was their team. And that's, you know, that's really refers to the collective. But, like, you know, Denny, Tumani, and Scoot. Like, Scoot Henderson had a real opportunity here to step up as a leader. We heard so much about his leadership when he was coming out in the draft back in 2023. And this, I think, would have been the first opportunity for us to really see that. And now, well, you've got Damian Lillard at the next locker, even though he's rehabbing from Achilles, it's probably his team again. And so I think that, like, just the more than I think minutes when he comes back or, you know, salary. I mean, the salary is really a non-issue. It's a sweetheart deal for the Blazers. I think it's the oxygen. Like, Dame takes up a lot of oxygen, and I wonder how that's going to change the ability for these young guys to really take this team and run with it.
Interesting. Bill Orme is our guest, columnist at The Oregonian, at Bill Orme on Twitter. You can also find him on Blue Sky as well. Broke the news yesterday of Lillard's return to Portland. I brought this up earlier in the show, Bill, and since you're the big news breaker in our market on the Blazers, I want to get your thoughts on it, and that is... We live in a conspiracy theory time in this world. There's no doubt about it. Everybody's trying to connect dots and got tinfoil hat on.
Release the Blazer files.
I have a reaction to some of the things that have happened and wonder, like, can you really tell me that they're not connected? Like, you, and I'm not saying the only reason, but they have drafted a international sensation with their first round pick who has added, an incredible amount of interest internationally. In
400
your team.
New viewers, 400
new
million
viewers, and the media members, and just what it means for the just interest in the Portland Trailblazers internationally. And then you bring back a guy who unquestionably will pack the arena in a way it has not been packed since his departure, when the team has been floundering and without a star. Like, am I wrong in connecting these to a sale of the team? Do you think they're just basketball? Is there a small percentage of connection? I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that.
So what is that, like the Ripstein files or the Ripstein files?
Let's stay away the from
Ripstein
stuff.
Files.
Let's stay away
from that's that. Pretty good. Well played there.
I don't think you're wrong. You know, I don't know if it's full on conspiracy tinfoil hat stuff, but you're a smart guy.
Thank you.
Joe Cronin is a smart guy. Dwayne Hankins is a smart guy. Burt Cold and Jody Allen are smart people. They're surrounded by smart people. Like, say whatever you want. Like, these are not unintelligent people who understand the way these things all, correspond with each other. And I remember having a conversation with, an executive on another team when the Blazers first went for sale, and I was asking kind of how a GM would approach an off season when the team is for sale in terms of like taking back money and taking back other contracts. And this person had said, well, individual moves don't change the value of the team unless you have like a Damian Lillard type player. Like the value of the team was higher with Damian Lillard on it than it is at this exact moment, and that might be, with whatever. I mean, we're not talking, a full additional $1 billion.
Right.
But like, yes, like that makes the team more attractive and more valuable. The Young Hansen thing is the exact same thing. Like, I think that, I was a little hard on Joe Cronin for the pick because it was so out of left field, but he's played really well in summer league. He's really intriguing. Mm-hmm. I think he has validated the pick, with the way he's played. He still does bring an entire continent of eyeballs to Portland that it wouldn't have otherwise had. And I hate to be like constantly sort of diplomatic on this and with all these things, but it's the same with the Dame signing, right? Like, is it a good idea or is it just for the vibes? I think both things are true. I think that these are, I think these are decisions that you can justify and make some sense separate from the fact that the team is for sale, but you can credibly point out that these things also help the team. Mm-hmm. And help the Allen Trust in the sale process. And by the way, like, I mean, the Dame decision is probably the harder one to justify, frankly.
Yeah.
Just from the standpoint of, like, this does not align with what you've been trying to do basketball-wise for the last 2 years. But again, I don't think that the Blazers are the only team in the NBA that would, or especially over NBA history, who would tell a player, if you have a home here whenever you want it. Like, that is not, I don't think that is a totally unreasonable place to be with a player who has done as much for your organization as Damian Lillard has. But I just really, it's a really awkward time for him to decide he wanted a home here. And I'm frankly a little bit surprised, but good for the fans.
I'll be at the beach this weekend, Bill. Are you going to be at the beach?
Ooh.
I will be at the beach soon. Mm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, soon. Yeah, soon.
Not an answer. I was born at the beach.
He was. Yeah.
As you pointed out,
you moved.
I think Sprague's going a little stolen valor here. He's trying to steal your thunder, your beach thunder.
Beach Sprague.
I know. My dad lives at the beach. Yeah, I visit my dad at the beach. Yeah. Maybe I just don't post as many like shirtless selfies at the beach as Sprague does.
We need some topless arm photos on the coast next time it happens.
Well done there.
Before we let you go, since you're the big Blazer newsbreaker in our market now, anything else you want to break? Anything else going on?
It's about 75 and sunny outside in Portland, Oregon. Okay. Let me be the first to tell you guys that since you've been in the studio since 5.
Look at that. The breaking news left and right. Bill
Orem next week at Media Day.
Next week, Big Ten Media Day. Yeah. He's a columnist at The Oregonian. He broke the news yesterday. Go give him a follow on Twitter. Follow him on Blue Sky. Thanks as always for the time. Enjoy your next trip to the beach, and let's do this again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Bill Orem of The Oregonian. Questioning his beach status.
Why?
Well, I don't know, kind of a fake beach guy. I don't know. Yeah, seems more like a Sun River guy to me.
I feel like you got to do that to get people from the beach. You know what I mean? You got to push back a little bit.
I can't imagine. I've never broken news, and I never will break news. The reaction that he felt hitting send on that tweet. That's got to be like a...
I've had it both ways.
Yeah.
I've had it where I was right, and then I had it where I was wrong, and it is the worst feeling in the world when you're wrong.
Yeah, you don't want to be wrong on that one.
Boy, when you're wrong on something, even if it's tiny, it's just like, I'm staying off social media forever.
Yikes. There you go. That is the Daily Ticker. It is always brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing. They are on today's scoreboard with the ticker and a drink in your hand for summertime refreshment. Reach for your favorite Pelican Brews at a store near you. Pelican Brewing, born to the beach. Did the brand man figure out the phones? We have an update on the phones.
We're still working on it.
Still working on it. Okay, we'll see if we'll open up the phone lines.
Call Dayton, Oregon now.
I want to get to the question that came in earlier that I teased in the end of the second hour, and that was a comparison that I'm seeing a lot of. Does Brandon Sprague see this comparison?
Mm.
That is next on The Fan. That's kind of a perfect symbolism of what life has been like for Blazer fans. Sometimes you got the ups, sometimes you got the downs. That's life. Today feels like an up for the majority of the fan base. No spring in the line today. We'll see if we get to anything else. Probably not.
Orem's not very comfortable with you referring to him as the top news NBA breaker here in our
market. Has anybody broken bigger Blazer news in the last... Whoever gets the scoop on the sale of the team will probably take that mantle away from him.
Yeah.
Well,
that's probably
going
to be more of a Nash.
I would have told you this would have been national, too. If I had told you Dame's coming back, you'd probably say, well, Shams is going to have that. How many local guys beat Shams?
A Bill Blast? Do we go Bill Blast?
Oh, a Bill Blast.
Bill Blast. I like that.
I do. We don't have to play off the last name.
No.
Yeah, a Bill Blast.
What do they call Shams's? Because it's not a... Is it a Shams bomb?
ShamWow.
A ShamWow.
Shams Wow.
I have no clue.
See, that's the Yang Bang, Yang Bong.
A Bill Blast.
The Bill Blast.
I think a Bill Blast is the right way.
You got a Bill Blast in your face yesterday. Damian Lillard's back.
Whole face full of Dame Lillard.
Just right there for you. 2 inches is a lot, buddy.
It is.
So I've seen this a lot in the last day. Listener sent it in earlier, and I wanted to get the wonderful basketball minds together of Jason Swigart and Brandon Sprague and ask them the question.
We don't know ball.
Well, you're not NBA dirt. We know that. So you clearly don't. But I'll give you the, you're the JV basketball knowers on the show. That's fine. I've seen a lot of comparisons to the Houston Rockets. A lot of them. Young team that added vets that maybe popped a little bit sooner than people thought. And then they add KD this offseason. Is there any comparison there for either of you?
No.
The comparison is you're just going rangy athletic wing guys with stuff around it. I don't see it entirely. I don't dismiss the idea. They clearly are trying to build
in that model.
Well, but see, here's my only thing, because I don't want to reveal this, but
reveal.
Me and Danny kind of got into it the other day, not in like a content. Yeah, we were
sure.
He kind of was more yelling at me than the other
you
way.
You embrace debate.
He has a tendency to do that.
Yeah, he gets a little angry. We were embracing debate. Ortner was sitting here watching it, feeling really uncomfortable. And he kept saying that. The Rockets. Look, I get it. I would also just counter, like, that's the whole league. The Pacers?
Get athletic wings with
the Thunder,
stuff around it.
I mean, yeah, like...
I would say they're trying to more model what OKC is. They don't have an SGA anywhere on the roster.
I just think it's the league.
And that's where it's going. And if you watch the one thing other than watching Yong on Summer League, the other thing I took was the way that they play. They came out of the first game. They were full court pressing. And they were subbing guys every 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay, is that what they truly envision and want to do with the actual NBA roster they're going to throw out this year, in which case they need depth, in which case, okay, now that makes a little more sense with Dame and Drew Holiday if you're going to have them with both Scoot and Shaden. If you plan on keeping everybody at this point for not this season, but the following season, say, okay, Dame and Drew, you guys are only going to play 20 to 24 minutes, but we want you to go all out when you're in there. And then depending on how games go, we might have you in for some fourth quarters in a tight game because we need people that make good decisions and know what they're doing and are comfortable knocking down shots. If they have a big lead, we might have Scoot and Shaden in there because we just want to put defensive pressure on them and close the damn thing down.
I think you look at the roster comps because that's what this is. It's just roster comping, and then it's being told that, oh, we're doing like the Rockets. Who is the Jabari Smith of our team? You can say his career's been somewhat underwhelming. He just got a 5-year 122. Yeah, so they're not.
They clearly felt fine paying him, and we don't feel fine paying Shaden because that was the same.
Okay.
Draft him.
Is it Denny? Is that the comparison?
Okay. Amen Thompson, Tumani, totally get it. Kind of similar, very similar. I think their points were pretty close. Tumani was a better 3-point shooter.
One was first team all defense, one was second team all
you
defense.
You can argue
there's
Amen
no
is better.
Boone yet.
Well, but there might be.
Might be.
Kami Jokic might be here. But then, what does that make Donovan? Clint Capella?
Yeah.
So, I think it's just easy to point to the Houston Rockets because they were this year's young, surprise Memphis Grizzly type team.
I see more the OKC model, Klingon as Hartenstein.
But this is kind of my point. It's not one specific team, guys. This is the league.
It's a model.
Let's get athletic wings that are switchable, that can play multiple positions and run the floor.
And guess what? The unfortunate thing is they don't got a dude. Drew's not the dude.
No.
Dame, even when he comes back,
is not going to be
the
dude.
No.
You don't have the dude yet. Now, maybe they will find that this year with somebody, but they don't have the dude. And you can say, well, Sprague, Houston didn't have it. Okay, that's fine. That's fair. They went and traded for a dude who had a good statistical season that knows how to win, is 7-1 and can shoot over everybody, is maybe the best scorer in NBA history. Like,
yeah.
So, like, it's not the same to me. I also think their coach is better than our coach. I don't think that's a hot take to say.
No.
I see some of it, but no, I think this is just largely the league. The Pacers are very similar to the Rockets.
Yes.
Wings everywhere.
They've
got a dude
mixed in.
Yeah, and then they went and got their Siakam. Like,
right.
This is the effing league. There's not one specific team. If you really think they're going to be exactly like the Houston Rockets, then that would make this year's equivalent to their 41-41 season, even though it's a 5-game difference. You know what they did this year? They won 11 more games. They were 52 wins.
Two seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I don't see that kind of jump.
45 wins for the Blazers.
Maybe. They need injuries to break their way.
I know that I see 40.
Okay.
Their over-under in Vegas is 32.5, I believe.
So if you can't specifically nail down the timeline of this stuff, and I know that's hard to predict, but
yes,
I just think you get in danger saying, we're going to be this team specifically. Like, okay. We were talking with Danny, and I was like, what about the scoring part? Orlando. And I was like, Orlando wasn't that good in the East.
No.
They couldn't score.
They got bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
So I totally think their defense is going to be good. I'm all in on that.
Without a doubt.
And part of getting Dame is needing buckets, right? Drew should add some scoring, and maybe somebody will take off. But
yeah,
your offense is going to cost you games unless somebody takes a big step this year.
I would tend to agree with you there, Bob. I've seen a lot of that in the last day or two, and I wanted to get your thoughts on a lot of comparisons being made. People trying to figure out how this comes together.
Do you think I'm wrong here? Like,
no,
I
don't
know. It's not just Houston.
It's the entire league, for one. And the other thing that I'm glad that you're pointing out is, one, that Houston 2 years ago was better than Portland was this past year with 41 wins. And then, like, if that's the bar that we want to set, if you're the Houston Rockets, all right, let's see what you got. You going to go win 50 games this year?
Their real leap was actually 2 years ago. They were 22-60,
yeah,
and then they were 41-41.
They jumped up 20 wins, and then they jumped up another 11 wins.
Yeah.
So we had nice growth,
ascension,
nice movement this past year for some to get to 30, where they went 35, 36?
36.
36.
Yeah.
Are you going to make that jump to 48?
I mean, 30 games.
Because if you're telling me you're the Houston Rockets, that's what you're telling me.
Yeah, you can't slow play it for 6 years and be like, no.
They didn't have Kevin Durant last year. They have Kevin Durant this year. This last year, they won 52 games.
They did that with Jalen Green.
With Jalen Green, without a dominant scorer, with just playing good defense and being scrappy and playing hard every night. They won 52 games. It worked for him in the playoffs. That's why they added Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But if you're going to use that comparison, this better be the year where you see 45, 46, 47 wins and you're seriously in the mix in the Western Conference.
Well,
and I have a hard time seeing that.
You're not. The only thing I would change there, I do agree, like, take a jump win-wise. In the mix is too much.
Well, I'm not asking you to win the West.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
the
Houston Rockets are the 2 seed in the Western Conference last year.
I don't expect that for this team.
Okay, so then what are we comparing them to?
Well, but what if they jump to the 8 seed?
The 8 seed last year had...
How many wins do they have?
48 wins last year.
So, I mean, it's 12
The 8 seed is a 12-game improvement from this last
year. But some of these teams are not going to have health luck.
Sure.
And maybe that's where
there's
one
come and go.
You know,
the comparison, I don't quite see it. We still got more to get to on this. Want to read some more thoughts at the fan text line. Got about 30 minutes to go on our Friday. Also, some more announcements to come. All right, welcome back in. I wanted to put something on everybody's calendar.
Okay.
And on your calendar.
Okay, let me get my calendar out.
Get your calendar out.
Been very big on the calendar. The wife
has
gotten me there. Yeah, every time I'm doing something, I'm calendar.
We got one of these like magnetic ones that we put on our fridge.
There you go.
We write stuff on, and then you delete it for the, you know, you'd like do a new
whiteboard.
Week. A little whiteboard week to week one.
I can be good at ignoring those ones. I have to do my phone.
I'm not good with the calendar. I'm trying to be better with the calendar.
Because
I'll tell the wife stuff, and then she won't remember, and then she'll say, you didn't tell me that. And I'll say, I vividly remember telling you that, but I didn't put it on the calendar. So then if I don't put it on the calendar, it doesn't count. So you gotta check both boxes.
Yeah. Mm.
So on your calendars,
okay,
I want you to go ahead and circle, let's see, your dates would be Monday, July 21st.
My daughter has swim class that day.
Ooh,
that's
swim
on the calendar.
Class. Hey, that's on your calendar.
It is.
Make sure you're ready to go.
I will be.
Through Friday, July 25th.
Okay.
That is next week. You
next
know,
week.
It's next week, Monday through Friday of next
week. The whole
week?
Next
the
week.
The whole week.
My YouTube TV bill is due.
You got to pay your YouTube TV bill. It's good that you have that on your calendar.
That's more for the other people to pay me because it's on auto pay.
The reason I want to bring that up is I want the people to know that next week is a very big week for 1080 The Fan.
A B1G week.
It's a not just a B1G week, but
more.
It is a B1G week.
Okay.
B1G week.
It's a big week and a B1G week.
I can't wait.
That's all that we can say. So just hang around. Put it on your calendar. Next week, big week. Let's read this and make fun of him together. Quote, I want to acknowledge the moment that's been circulating online and the disappointment that it's caused. What was supposed to be a night of music and joy turned into a deeply personal mistake playing out on a very public stage. I want to sincerely apologize to my wife, my family, the team at Astronomer. You deserve better from me as a partner, as a father, and as a leader. This is not who I want to be or how I want to represent the company I help build. I'm taking time to reflect, to take accountability, and to figure out the next steps. Personally and professionally, I ask for privacy as I navigate that process. I want to also express how troubling it is that we should have a private moment become public without my consent. I respect the artists and the entertainers, but I hope we can all think more deeply about the impact of turning someone else's life into a spectacle.
Oh, it's everybody else's fault.
Yeah. As a friend once sang, lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. And probably, you get to try and interpretate.
You probably cheated on that friend and became friends with somebody else, didn't you? By the way, did you know this company at all? I didn't know.
I never heard of Astronomer before.
What do they do?
This is the CEO of the company who was caught at Fenway Park cheating on his wife with the head of HR of
his company at a Coldplay concert.
Yeah. Coldplay had a hilarious response to this yesterday. They said, folks, sorry, I guess we need to not put people on the Jumbotron anymore. Like, they played into it. It was really good. Somebody had a fake statement from this guy in which he was apologizing, and then you realize in the second paragraph what he's apologizing for is liking Coldplay. So it's kind of a jokey fake statement of, like, I sincerely apologize to my family and friends. This is so embarrassing. I have to come out and admit that I am a fan of Coldplay, and now you all know that.
People don't like Coldplay, huh?
I'm not the biggest
Coldplay big Coldplay guy.
Any reason?
No, I don't.
Coldplay.
There's a song my daughter loves with Coldplay that I actually quite enjoy.
I'm not saying it's all bad.
No.
I could have a good time at a Coldplay concert.
Could you?
Yeah.
How much of their music is upbeat?
They got some upbeat songs.
Do they?
I mean,
I'm not that familiar with the Coldplay catalog.
I mean,
I think in my head,
I'm not going to act like I know everything about Coldplay.
We're playing a piano. It's kind of slow.
A lot of mid-tempo.
You're just kind of swaying. And to each their own.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. But yeah.
I love this guy coming out and blaming
everybody else.
The artists and the entertainers.
How is it a private event when you're in a public venue with 40,000 people?
What an idiot. And by the way, with other coworkers.
Explain to me how that's private.
He was with other coworkers. It was the VP of HR was the gal
laughing next
to the HR rep.
Because she knew the entire thing. She's like, oh, damn, you guys are in trouble.
I'm drunk. We got exposed.
Private moment.
If this doesn't sum up the rich CEO types in America nowadays, nothing. I mean, these people can't be shamed anymore.
Yes.
Oh, it's an awful moment. I'll learn from it.
I will fix my mistakes.
But it's kind of your fault. What?
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 This is your fault, okay? This is your fault. How dare you put me on the Jumbotron cheating on my wife and ruining my family? How dare you?
Now, it is his wife divorce. This is pretty public.
You got a divorce.
I saw some stuff. She already changed her name on Facebook. Maiden name.
Like, dude, that's not
stuff.
Holding. Like, he's embracing
That's a sway.
And if you heard Coldplay plays some, like, we might be getting this on today. You know
Very
what I mean?
Well,
like,
could, yeah.
There's some feelings going on here. That was. We're going back to the hotel after this. We're hanging out. We're doing adult business.
Get over yourself.
Yeah, I think that's an immediate divorce on her part. Immediate divorce. You've been publicly humiliated. Your husband just went viral for cheating on you.
No, I think the first thing is you're hiring the private investigator to see how long has this been going on.
I don't think you need to do that anymore. I think he exposed enough.
Well, that's
to say
that's to see that's to happening. See how many commas are involved in the
a lot of
in
commas involved.
Yeah,
in this
that's
one,
a, that's a fair point.
Somebody did have a great post on this too yesterday. They said just on the general theme of Coldplay, I wonder how much it costs to go to a Coldplay concert. And then one listener or one person responded, well, about half your net worth, half your 401k and all of your homes. That's how much it costs to go to a Coldplay concert.
Alimony every
Oopsies.
Month. You know, I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again because it made me like want to double. When did people just stop cheating in hotels? When did it become like, we're just going to be public and at places where there's cameras everywhere?
Yeah.
And when we get caught, it's everybody else's fault.
Then it's your fault for putting me out there. How dare you?
How come you guys don't meet at a diner somewhere way off a highway somewhere? Yeah.
You know where you don't get caught? At 11 a.m. at a random Motel 6.
They'll keep the light on for you.
Probably not getting caught there. But you went to a Coldplay concert.
If you're not having a proper affair at a hotel where a bed vibrates for 25 cents, you're doing it wrong.
When was the last time you had a vibrating bed hotel room?
I don't want to disclose that.
And did you put coins in? You totally did.
I definitely did. I think I was in my teens. My mom took us to a hotel.
Usually it's way too hard, like way harder than you thought it was going to be.
I'm not liking this ride.
2 inches is a lot.
So the CEO, I hope somebody turns that into a GIF. I really hope somebody's.
What time is dinner? Like, who enjoyed that? What was that idea?
You use a vibrating bed, Swag? Are you a vibrating bed guy at a hotel room?
No.
Lake Oswego is too classy for that.
Let's be honest. Somebody's wife inspired that. Boy, she's having a good time on that thing.
I'm having a hard time.
Maybe the truck drivers will like it. Put my boots on. I'm order a pizza now. What? 25 cents. Hell of a ride.
Let's wrap it up on a Friday. Next on The Fam. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. One listener saying Swag is more of a mirror on the ceiling kind of guy.
Oh, much classier.
Is that classy?
No.
Seems assy.
You like watching?
Like seeing your butt cheeks just clenching.
How's it look?
Look at my posture.
No, we're more the round rotating bed.
Are you like a heart hot tub kind of guy? Is that not classy enough for you?
That's definitely a cheating hotel.
I can see Swag in a heart hot tub, can't you? Chest hair out, sitting in the corner.
Yeah, dude.
Right?
Definitely.
Glass of champagne or something. I could see that being your weekend.
When in doubt, pinkies out.
Shaq's Cribs episode, I'll never forget. He had a big round bed because he said the square bed was not built for his body.
Exactly. Big, massive bed.
I want to say his bed was 14 by 14. Like, that's how big the bed was. And he jumped on it, and Shaq looked like a child on a
bed. How nice would that be to have a bed that big?
Be insane.
I'd love that.
Because I think he bought Michael Jackson's old house in Florida.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
I think that's where it was.
Probably some
Did you see Michael Jordan's former mansion in Chicago is now on Vrbo or
25
Airbnb?
25 G's a night. Yeah, and you have to book it for a full week.
So you can rent his old mansion?
Yeah.
25 G's a night. Full week.
How much Jordan stuff is in there?
Is there everything except the logo on the gym floor. He took that out.
Why would you take the logo off the gym floor?
I don't know. And he left the 23 on the... I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, but, the 23 on the gate is still there.
You have to be there a full week, and here's the kicker. You could say, well, that's kind of cool. What if we do a 40-person party?
Right.
12-person limit.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here with that nonsense.
10 G's, basically, per person if you want to do like a 5-day stay.
No, thank you. Not worth that. To go to Chicago? So. No.
Yeah, what?
No. Give me a tropical island vacation, maybe. But
I tend to
Chicago.
Agree with this, yeah.
We asked the poll question yesterday. Horrible timing by me, but you got the gist of it, people. Everything was moving very quickly. I asked Damian Lillard is reportedly close to a return, and at that time he had already signed the contract. So, you know, oopsies. Do you like the move? Yes, Dame time? No. Why? Care to guess the final results on this?
65-35, yes, Dame time.
65-35?
83-17.
83-17?
Yeah.
You both undersold the support for Damian Lillard.
Wow.
86.5% of people.
Close.
You were close. You were
close.
In the ballpark. 13.5% say no. Why? And that was one of the few examples, ladies and gentlemen, where we've done an entire show on one topic.
Now we open with TJ Watt news, though.
That is true. Baseball starts tonight. Are we excited to watch our baseball teams?
No, my team sucks. My team might be sellers at the deadline, dude.
You got anybody we could take? We could use another bat. You selling any of your bats?
I kind of want to sell some
Not
bats.
Not Ozuna. I don't want Ozuna. Can we have Matt Olson? You gonna get rid of Matt Olson? No, we're playing Devers
What do
first.
You give me for Albies?
I'll give you something nice for Albies.
I'm having a great year.
I'll give you something good there. Although I need a little beef in my lineup.
Riley?
Is he bringing the beef? Uh-huh. I bring in Riley. I'm cool
Austin
with that.
Austin Riley?
We got Chapman at
Big
there.
Big one in Seattle. Astros are at Seattle this weekend.
What are they, 5 out of first place?
Yeah.
What if they get swept this weekend?
Ouchie. What if they sweep this weekend?
And you're right back in the mix.
Face.
That will do it for us, folks. Don't forget, next week, big week. You're going to want to be here. That's all I'm going to say.
Stay tuned on The Fan all day today, obviously. Local content coming your way, noon to 3 and 3 to 7. And then, next week.
Next week's a big week, folks. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. If you missed the show, all the Lillard talk, go check at 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague, and at 1080thefan. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Calling us next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.